Exactly. Okay, we'll talk. I think since it's in we'll talk about Tu Bishvat. It's very interesting. Hag, whatever it is, a minig, it's not mentioned b'chal in the post game or in the Gemara that there's a special eating that makes simcha on Tu Bishvat. It became a minig in the course of generations that on Tu Bishvat people make a simcha, not the union of Kereser Tzrel. We'll speak about that. We'll speak about some of the significance of the halachas as well. We'll speak about some of the significance of the Keres of Eretz Yisrael Bechlal. What we find in Chazal. We know the Pasuk in numerous places speaks about the Shivas of Keres Eretz Yisrael. And it tells us that one of the Shvach of Eretz Yisrael, the praise of Eretz Yisrael, that has these beautiful peros here, grow beautiful fruits, which requires some beer, obviously, but I said we're in Yeshiva here, and we're talking about Ruchnias, and on the Gemara, and suddenly what do you have? Peros, or the Gashmias, Gashmias, our Tishan. You should be eating bread and water, certain you eat bread and water, sleep on the ground, that's Shrecha
V'Tavlach. I miss if you look at a tree.
Right, you're walking the street and you're taking the return, you say, oh, look at the beautiful tree over there, and there's Chashon Chayim Misa. We find that in Yeshiva, right, in Gashmias, is a thing that's far, far from the Chor, from Ruchnias. So, what does the Torah go out of its way in numerous places to praise the Eretz Azvas Chalav V'Ash, a land flowing with milk and honey? Milk and honey, let's go, we got pizza over here, milkshake, milk, honey, sweet ice cream, milkshake, milk and honey, right? Milkshake. Okay, that's it. That's what you're doing in Shiva, and like a milkshake. Obviously, there's something more to it than meets the eye. B'chal, I mean, it's a question of the Chumash, much of the Chumash deals with Gashmistic brachos. Hashem will give the rain this time, and you have prosperity, and fruit, and your energy will fall in front of you. So the Rambam explains in Hilchos Tshuva that the Gashmias Brachos the Torah is speaking about is obvious, it's self-evident that the Tachlis Achaim can't be the Gashmias. Why? And this is for Muslim speaking, I'm sure you have the Shmuzim from Rabbi Schwartz about it and others, Fabian. It's self-evident that the Tachlis Achaim, the important things in life, can't be Gashmias things. Why? I mean, the whole world runs after, we know that. But as far as we believe that a person has a neshama, there's an olam haba. So the gashmias things are very temporary, and if you make a hedgman, how much the person really enjoy the gashmias in this world, it's very, very small amount. People must spend most of the time working. Working for most people is not a great pleasure. If they enjoy work, fine, but it's not a great pleasure. Most people spend their time on the beaches, drinking mint juleps on the coconut trees over there. A lot of people spend a lot of time advertising such things. Right, and talking about such things, or thinking about such things, but actually doing it is very rare. And until you get there, and you get finally on the beach, on the palm trees with the coconuts and everything, and a little mosquito comes and bites you. Yeah. That was in the habitat. it's not one mosquito; it's a few mosquitoes. Then you're walking back and see a snake over there, and a little poison ivy over here. That wasn't the advertising, etc., etc. So if you make a hedgeman, really, how much really these kind of pleasures a person has, actually, this world is very, very much. Minuscule. Not the minuscule of the person that has sickness or something like that. So the Rambam says it's self-evident that the most important thing is ruchnius, because ruchnius is something which a person knows when you do mitzvahs and you learn Torah, you know yourself, that it's kishmak. The kishmak of ruchnius is much more really than the kishmak of gashmius. The gashmius pulls the body to it, pulls the yitzhahara to it. When a person sits down and learns well and does ma'asim tovim, there's certainly much more simcha and certain more fulfillment than, a Coke and a couple of pieces of pizza. That's definitely Gishmak, so we'll all run for the pizza and the Coke. Right? No question about it, but fulfillment and a real simple person doesn't get from it. We know that. So therefore, the Rambam says that all these Gashmi Brachos are enabled, Hashem is Mavtiach us, He's promising us, He'll enable us to have all we need to do the mitzvahs. Okay, so that's what Gashmi is in general is for. Specifically talking about Peros, fruits that people make a little simcha and Tu Bishvat compared to Eretz Yisrael. So Peros, Tosfos explains in Maseches Brachos, and the Chavos Vavos speaks about it, Vigil Milius speaks about it tremendously, a lot of things. Peros, a way that Hashem is Megala, his chesed in the world. Hashem shows his chesed in the world. When a person, people get a big thrill out of going to see a beautiful sight, enjoying something very yishmak. A person, there is a thrill, no question about it, no question about it. There's something, you know, enjoyable about it. Can't deny that. It's a beautiful sight, etc., etc., beautiful flowers. Anybody, everybody in the world enjoys these things. And a person gets is uplifted by it. You know why everybody say a person is uplifted by it? Because a person is coming in contact with the chesed of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He is connecting with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. When he sees a beautiful flower, even as it looks at a vanilla with an orange, looking the orange over there, what a fantastic, brilliant invention, the oranges, right? I mean, I have sometimes grapefruit sitting around my house for, get stuck in the back of the refrigerator, right? 6 months later, it's still there, and you open it up, it's still good inside. Like, that's unbelievable. Hashem made citrus fruits that they can last for months. And everybody knows the story about the limeys, right? British sailors used to dive, these long trips used to dive. Mm-hmm. The famous story, right? Studied science, fifth grade science, right?
Yeah.
Guys, they used to die after they were going on these trips. No one knew. They started gums, gums started bleeding, they would die out. Mm-hmm. No one knew what it was.
Scurvy.
Mm-hmm. Until someone came along, they started putting in lemons in the rum, etc., etc. They became them as limeys. Okay. So Hashem made it. Tomatoes, what are you saying? Take a tomato, you know, and put it anywhere. And in a few days, it's gone. I guess, you know, mushy in it. It's gone in a few days. Almost all fruits, you take them and you put them away for a long time. They spoil a lot of them. Hashem made a tremendous chesed that citrus fruits, that not only do they keep long, long time, if they're kept in proper conditions, I've seen esrog from Boisai, 3 years old.
Oh.
A 3 year old esrog, how did it happen? I took an esrog of mine, wow, a couple of esrog, and I wrapped it up in my plastic bag, put it away for, I can't remember what I put away for, make some time, I can't remember what. 3 years later, I discovered it. I opened up the bag. It was still yellow. I cut it open. It was still, you know, there was still a little juicy inside.
Was it kosher at the time you cut it open?
Yeah, basically kosher, yeah. A little dried out a bit, but it was still basically kosher. I saw an esrog someone took. I took a Coke bottle, and they cut it in half. They put the esrog inside and with the flax stuff. They put the Coke bottle with the two heads back together again. I saw them a year later open it up. Fresh, beautiful, yellow esrog. Kashal Bracha.
Wow.
Isn't that amazing, Rabbi Sai? Tremendous chesed HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the world. Citrus fruits. And these people saved these people's lives. These sailors who used to long trips. These little lemons and limes saved their lives. Mm-hmm. So you see, Rabbi Sai, and of course you have exotic fruits and all these different types of things. Mm-hmm. A person is coming in contact with the chesed HaKadosh Baruch Hu and gets a thrill out of it. He gets simcha from it. The more a person connects with the HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the more simcha and enjoyment he gets in life. That's the source of enjoyment is connecting with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, true enjoyment. Not talking about a guy goes necessarily. See, there's fake enjoyment, true enjoyment. What do I mean? There's the Yetzer Hara enjoyment, and the Yetzer Hara enjoyment always has in with the in the bottom person's heart, and deep inside doesn't feel too good about it. Right? Something bothering him about it. Mm-hmm. Right? Am I right? Everybody knows, you know, guys.
Talk to kids.
So it's something bothering him. Anytime a person does things connected with the Yetzer Hara, inside he's feeling something. Even Rosh Hashanah, Rabbi Sai, Chazal say Rosh Hashanah are full of charata, full of regret. They'll cry, they'll feel full of regret. But they give him the Yetzer Hara, they keep giving in. A person that's tzaddik, when a person does good, a Maestro told me he never feels any charata or bad inside. He feels good inside. Right? But a person comes in contact with the Chetzer Kashrut, sees beautiful flowers, enjoys the flowers, enjoys something, the fruits, which are basically healthy. And they look nice and smell nice, and they have all kinds of great things to them. No one feels guilty about eating an orange. Right? But a guy can sit down. You know, when I was a kid, I had a friend of mine who was a rich kid. So he used to try to buy my friendship. How do you do it? He would come, you know, to school, you know, 25 cents, and he would buy me from this vending machine, Drake's cakes, and all these types of things.
Drake's cakes, yes!
And I know. Drake's cakes over there, voice. And devil's dogs and all that stuff, right?
Yodel.
Yeah, the yellows at that, right. Okay. I used to eat them. Of course, I was a kid, of course. I was a shy. Of
course. I see nothing
wrong. But in this house, I was feeling a little guilty about it. What would my mother say if she caught me eating Drake's cakes over here? You know, a couple of days chased after school. I was a little pudgy, little kid. Not so healthy, and it's not, you know, there was a squeeze for the teeth, etc. All these different things. All the headphones. I was feeling a little bit guilty about those Drake's cakes. Right? Because that's it's so hard. So therefore, we say peros are a way of coming kind of the chesed of Kodesh. And Tosfos explains in the Sefer Brachos Daf Lamed Vav that these things that Kodesh made in the world in order to show his chesed. He could have given us a little black vitamin pill with vitamin C in it, vitamin A, etc. All the things you have in, you know, vitamin pill once a day, and you got your vitamins and minerals, and there it is. No, Hashem made all these interesting fruits, different colors, different tastes, etc. That we should appreciate the chesed he does for us and be sameach of it. And that's where this minig we found in Tuvishra comes around about. Tuvishra has significance in halacha as well, which we'll talk about in a second. But the minig in Klal Yisrael of being sameach in Tuvishra is the inyan of simcha, that being sameach in the chesed HaKadosh Baruch Hu does for us with these peros, which actually give us chiyus, they give us life, and they're healthy, etc., etc. I know in Germany, like 100 years ago, when people used to get sick and so on and so forth, orange in Germany is a fortune. They didn't have the transportation we have today, and it was shipped all over the world. 150 years ago, whatever, when a person was very sick, they had to, you know, go to Frankfurt, travel, you know, 10 hours to get a few oranges at a tremendous price for people who had certain sicknesses, whatever it was. And something that would save their lives. People had certain types of sicknesses, they needed these kind of fruits. So that's the idea behind the Simcha of Tuvishra, that the Klai Yisrael became a minute Klai Yisrael make the Simcha of Tuvishra, to appreciate the Chesed of Kodesh Baruch Hu. Okay, now, let's talk about maybe the halachic aspect of Tuvishra. Tu B'Shvat they call the Rosh Lilanos. And the way it works is like this, by saying, Halacha works as follows. We know that you have, there's Dinner of Shulmas and Maestros. We're familiar with. Now you have, some years you have you have Maestro Rishon, Maestro Sheni, and Maestro Ani. Maestro Rishon is every year, except for the Shemitah cycle. And Maestro Sheni depends on that. Maestro Sheni you separate the first, second, fourth, and fifth years of the Shemitah cycle. And Maestro Ani is for the third and sixth year. Now, when you determine when the year begins and ends for each thing, so Yerakos, the vegetables, they are dependent on Rosh Hashanah. In other words, if you harvest a vegetable before Rosh Hashanah and a vegetable after Rosh Hashanah, they're 2 years. One is from Shemitah and one is from the next year. Depends on Rosh Hashanah, when you harvest it. Trees have a different halacha. Trees are based on the chanata. Chanata, when they first give out the first little buds, the first buds, that determines what year they're in. The boundary line, the cutoff line for 1 year to the next line is Tu B'Shvat. Tu B'Shvat is a cutoff year from 1 year to the next year. For the buds before Tu B'Shvat, so it's the previous year. The buds after Tu B'Shvat, it's the next year. And, for example, the Shemitah works on Rosh Hashanah to Rosh Hashanah. The fruits that, for example, the year after Shemitah, all the fruits that come until Tu B'Shvat, the bud until Tu B'Shvat, are considered back into Shemitah. The first year fruits, for example, the first year fruits go up until Tu B'Shvat the first year starts actually from Tu B'Shvat onwards. It depends on the fruits bud. That depends the year, which year to take those Maestros from. You know, you have Maestro Sheni some year, and some Maestro only the next year, the Gul's Tu B'Shvat. We'll explain why that is, exactly. Why Tu B'Shvat of all days in the middle of nowhere, where it come from. Explain it in a second. Okay, so that depends, that makes the new year for oil as well. Oil is dependent on Tu B'Shvat. The first 3 years of fruit is Usher. It has to pass by the Tu B'Shvat of the fourth, after the fourth year, in order to become a fifth year fruit. Okay, now some fruits, very interesting enough, the shesek tree, there's a tree called shesek tree right out here in the Chatzer. A shesek tree, kumquats, little orange fruits, sweet orange fruits, happens to be that some come out before and after Tu B'Shvat in the same tree. In the same tree, you have these fruits that some bud before Tu B'Shvat, some bud after Tu B'Shvat. So how do you determine the Tumas and Maestros, the Tumas and Maestros in the moment? In the same tree, you have different fruits before and after Tu B'Shvat. Interesting shayla halacha, Rabbi said. But that's what Tu B'Shvat has significant halacha. Now, why is it that Tubishvat out of all days, where did it come from? Rosh Hashanah, we know that Boko created the world, he's out, he judged the world in the beginning of Rosh Hashanah. Pesach, Hashem makes a din that Pesach is a crime, Hashem makes a din on the Tzvua, on the produce, on Pesach time, because we bring the Omer. The actual time when Hashem judges how much fruits are going to be, what they're going to be like, is on Shavuos time, which would be Mikor. So where does Tubishvat get anywhere? How does Tubishvat get determined when Shavuos and Maaser for? The day of judgment for fruits is on Shavuos. Like Hashem, Rosh Hashanah, Hashem judges us, he judges the fruits on Shavuos. He judges the grain on Pesach.
Water and Sukkot,
for the reason. Today, really, Hashem doesn't judge. You know, they say it's a mitzvah dam for good esrik delay. Fine, it doesn't hurt, of course, you know, it's a good idea. But Hashem doesn't judge specifically on Tubishvat. It has a, it's a boundary line between the switching of the years from the Trumas and Maisers, which was but before or after Tubishvat. Okay, fine, why is that? So Tos explains that Rashi says it also. What happens is that when it rains, during the rainy season, the fruits that grow next year get their nourishment from the rain that comes before Tu B'Shvat. That's where they're called to grow. The rain that comes up to Tu B'Shvat, that gives the core for the next year's fruits to grow. After Tu B'Shvat, it goes in the next headwind for the year after that. The Gishmei Bracha, the Gishamim, they give the core for the fruits work until Tu B'Shvat. After that, they go into the next year. That's why, that's the halachic reason why Tu B'Shvat is a koveya, the changing of the years from Trumas Maaser.
So, now I just had a question. So, 5765 prior to Tu B'Shvat, then 5766 for the year after?
Right, and it was like this. We're in Tavshin Samechei right now. So, all the fruits. No. It works from. All the fruits of Tavshin Samech Dalet go up till. To today. Now, Tavshin Samechei starts today, fruits of this year. So, in other words, say Tavshin Samechei. I can't remember what year. Let's say, for example, like this. Say that. Say it was Shemitah was last year. Shemitah ended on Rosh Hashanah last year. All the fruits that come out until that budded after Tu B'Shvat during Shemitah, be Shemitah fruits until the Tu B'Shvat of the middle of the next year. All those fruits that bud at that time were Shemitah fruits. Okay? Therefore, we have Shemitah fruits, the Shittah fruits, in the middle of the summer, almost a year later, after Shemitah, there's still Shemitah fruits. Right? The Shittah fruits that go on until they're harvested in the beginning of the summer, whatever it is, and you have them in the Shuk until the end of the summer, they're still all from Shemitah. Even though it's almost a year later. Because that's the way it works. Okay. All right. So that's the halachic significance of Tu B'Shvat, and that's what the dinim.
Isn't this something about the sap also?
Right. So the sap. That's what it says. The sap that gives the koach of the tree gets its sustenance from the rain that comes from the Tu B'Shvat. That's what Rashi and Tosafot explain. Okay. Now, let's go back. Let's talk about the practical aspect of eating the peros and Tu B'Shvat. So we go out, you know, and get 15 types of peros, which has no makor in halacha. Not even al-pi kabbalah. There's some people, you know, Tu B'Shvat is 15, so you get 15 types of peros. And al-pi kabbalah, deep in yanim, and this and that. I remember Yaakov Hillel. It was made up by a sefer called something Moshe, Chemin Moshe, or something like that. Has no makor whatsoever in the Arizal. Someone made it up, and they said al-pi kabbalah, deep in yanim, things like that. You know, he said no deep in yanim. Someone made it up a couple hundred years ago, and that's where you get 15 fruits in Tu B'Shvat. That's wonderful. Okay, 15 fruits, yeah, 20 also, it's also good. And 10 also good. Many things you enjoy. Now, the big issue is making Shachianu. What happens if people come to Tu B'Shvat? They get a piece of carob. And a carob from, Shachianu! Wow, you know, Tu B'Shvat. Great. It's a very big chashash bracha, it's bracha with all of this. Why do I say that? Because the bracha of Shachianu is a bracha a person makes when he has simcha, and it's Rosh Hashanah. There's no obligation to make the bracha. If he has simcha, then he makes the bracha. Okay? I personally don't have particular simcha from oranges. I don't make Shachianu oranges. I like pomelos, but I don't like oranges. Right? My sons happen to like oranges. They like oranges and tangerines. Each person says, I don't make a Shachianu oranges, by myself. or tangerines for that matter. Because I don't really have any simple for them. Mangoes? I wait the whole year for the mangoes. The mangoes, my spiritual, are still now, you know, a little some of them moldy a bit, but they're still good. You can't wear the mold, it's still good. Okay, so I have to sing for that, right? Verse, you have to have simple. Now, these cherubim, these cherubs, which people, they say, can't about. How many people really have simple on those things? Baruch Hashem, okay, you can make it a family. Wonderful. Right? But
how much simcha is called simcha? Like, you're excited, like, oh, I get to have the cherub.
Well, yeah, you're excited about it. I mean, I would say, like, you have a simcha or something like that. But yeah, oh, you know, wow, it's great. I'm excited. I'm glad I had this simcha. A little bit of simcha is good enough. But you have to be excited about it. Just because it's in you get the cherub on two spots, make a shachianu. No, that's backwards. If you have simcha, then you make the shachianu. Nice, it's the one on two spots. Yeah, and also the parents have to be, what I say, from this year. Now, I don't know how that works with cherub, what year it's from. But if it's something which is around the warehouses all the time, you also can make shechem. Right? I think cherub is dried, it sits around from
indefinitely. So shechem is dependent on what?
Depends if it's a seasonal fruit.
Uh-huh.
I don't think cherub is very seasonal. Maybe they are, I'm not sure. Yeah.
But now, especially in the States, you can get any fruit you want all year round because, you know,
right,
the refrigerator, so there's never shechem done in the States.
Correct, that's right.
Well,
I don't know, I was in the States, like, oh, yeah, a supermarket, you guys, Peru, this. You know, these kind of fruits from Peru and all the fruits from all over the world in the supermarket right there.
Right. So what do people do in Rosh Hashanah for shechianu and fruit?
I imagine they don't make. In the States, I wouldn't believe.
Everyone
makes.
They
save a fruit they don't eat the whole year or something.
So
but it's available in the marketplace all year round.
Is it on the season or not eating it?
No, so it's not on the, depending on the season. If you have
it, they didn't eat all year round, and they still can't make it.
Yeah.
What I always heard is that if you don't eat it for 365 days, for a full year, then certainly a new season has started, even though if you don't notice it, for sure a season has started by then.
That I don't know. That's a good question, but if you always have them available, they're always in the supermarket.
But it's from a different place. It's Peruvian apples.
I understand that. But I don't know. I don't believe that. I don't think it's telling you. It wouldn't be your trend on that. You don't have the simcha that, oh, I see new fruit. But then the more you make it when you see it. But then the more you make a shechem when you see the new fruit. So if you see it every day in the supermarket, just you buy it once a year, so I don't think you make shechem. We make it for Shas Achila when you eat the fruit, because people don't really, seeing fruit, people don't get a big thrill out of seeing fruit today.
Yeah.
It could be once upon a time, it was seasonal, it came out and they get really big at
fruit.
Or Hagash is a little bit lacking today. So we make it for Shas Achila, but something you see all the time.
And what if the price goes down a lot? Like, it used to be really expensive, now it's cheap enough you can actually afford to buy it and eat it. And they're happy that now you can actually eat it.
I wouldn't think that would be covered. It's always there, because it's always there.
Just not always affordable.
It's not affordable, but it's always there. I mean, if you want to buy one of those things in a occasion,
so the only way we can make shakyana is if we have, like, simcha to do it.
Right, you have to have simcha, and it has to be seasonal.
Oh, both conditions have to apply.
Yeah.
So it doesn't make seasonal, like...
Stop.
In Australia, you have no problem, because it's seasonal food here.
Right.
They don't import food here.
But in the States, it's...
But export in the States, when I was out in the supermarket with my parents, and wow, like, you know,
everything
all the time.
Yeah.
From Peru and Uruguay, who knows where it's from.
Mm-hmm. Especially if you go to Whole Foods. Whole Foods got the everything. No, they do. I mean, they give whatever country, organic, non-organic, I mean, whatever.
Even if a person has his own garden, since there's fruits in the market all the time, his garden doesn't matter concerning...
Well, if he eats the fruits all the time, he has his own garden, you know, it's nice to raise your own fruits, but unless he has all the fruits already available from the supermarket, he wants to buy them, even. I wouldn't think he'd make a shot.
Even the broken semen for the first time?
If it was... That's the whole thing. In America, there's no... If you live in a place where you have a supermarket, there's no seasonal fruit, really. I mean, there is.
You see it on the tree for the first time in the season, you've already seen it in the supermarket, so you don't see it.
Right. What's the big simcha? You see it on the tree or see it in the supermarket? That doesn't make it happen. Okay, so that's the inyan of shechem. So unless you have real big simcha with the carobs, and also, as I said, I don't know how seasonal is it. Maybe it is, I'm not sure.
Is there any seasonal food right now?
Hmm?
Is there any food that's right now just coming to season?
Right at this point, I don't think so. I haven't seen, what do you have over there? No, I was in
grapes.
Grapes have been around since, the season for grapes starts around the old time, and continues right now. There's still grapes in the shop.
So do we make any shechianu today when we?
I can't say shechianu today. Name a fruit. I don't think you name a new fruit today at this time of year.
Mm.
The cabs, I don't believe the first would be, have some of them.
Esrogim or anything like that.
Esrogim, or they're all the time. They just haven't come out now, today, you know, the sugar esrogim. But I wouldn't think you'd make sure. It's actually on the head up on the sign. No, you can get this esrogim all the time, really, if you, you know, if you haven't
around. You've seen esrogim.
Maybe they do. Maybe they don't come on super sharp. But no, it's rumor on the tree. They're all around all the time, all year on the tree. Just they happen to make them now. They're not a seasonal fruit. That's rumor definitely not a seasonal fruit.
No.
No, esrog. That's why it says esrog is called preitz hadar. Hadar mishana l'shana. It's always on the tree. It's always on the tree. Always. You never have a shekin of
right.
Wow. Esrog. They're always growing. The big ones, small ones. You know, all one. Yeah. Okay. So that basically takes care of shekinu. What else? Oh, checking for water basin. Checking for bugs. So, each type of fruit has its own way of checking for bugs. I can tell you general rules of eyesight. Figs don't get close to them. They're so difficult to check. Ramajavai, I heard from him personally, he used to live across from Tor Ora, and I used to speak to him a lot.
Who?
Ramajavai is the biggest expert in the world in bugs. He's written several swarms, and he's given shirim all over the world in bugs.
Okay.
So he told me a story, a funny story I heard. He once took a fig, and he opened it up. You know, and started checking. And he's a worm there. And the worm dives in between the, you know, the fibers of the fig. Figs have like a little strands. That's what you, okay, fine, so go chase after him, find him, and get out of there. So he starts opening, pulling around all directions. Not to be seen, everybody's saying. Mystery, Sherlock's home mystery, where did that bug go? That worm. But, yeah, 007, couldn't find it, no one could find it. That's it. Ramoshavai is like the 007 of the worm world. Like he is the hero. He knows how to check it. Anyway, so he said after that, that's it, no more figs. Not going to fix anymore. Because he himself was the biggest expert in the world in checking bugs, couldn't find it. He dived in there, and that was lost.
That's
so, dried figs, boys, I don't suggest. They're full, they're very heavily infested. And there's a medrash, he brought a medrash of Shirashirim, which says that Rabbi Akiva one time went to a fig orchard. There's Chaverim, and he wanted to pick some figs off the tree. And the Baal Bais told him that there were a lot of Tholoyim, a lot of worms in them, not could I eat them. So this is 2,000 years ago. Rabbi Akiva was the biggest time in the history of the world. He wasn't going to check for figs or bugs, so I don't suggest figs. That's, but most things you can check for figs.
So
the advice is in this book, you can check for figs.
Yeah, he does, but he writes his advice not to eat them.
What?
He says fresh figs. Fresh figs also is incredible to check. I know, he says how to check, right? He also says, I think, in footnotes, his advice not to eat them. Very hard to check.
If there's no break in the thing,
in the seal, there's no break on the skin.
No, they go in there. Going to the bottom of the time, other fruits, by said there are possible checks, some are harder than others. In general, I can tell you as follows. Dates, make it very quick. Dates, you hold the light, open them up, hold the light, look inside, outside. You see a brown disc, round oval shaped thing that you could be open to be above. Or if you see a little purine, little brown like crumbs, that's the extra from bugs. Don't eat it. Right? Little webby things, like little white wedge, that's from a thing called milvin, very common in certain types of fruits and flour and things like that. Little webs don't need it. Pecans, you find them. Pecans, and not pecans. Walnuts. Walnuts are stored a long time in warehouses.
Damn.
They're quite heavily infested. But they're easy to check. You open them up, you break it open, and you see either a worm, or you see webs, or you'll see there'll be little purine, little crumbs like this. Not the crumbs from the dark brown. Okay. Apples are very, no problem checking apples. You know, you cut it open and you just look at the big worms in apples. Apples you can check. Oranges, citrus, which boys say have kinemoths on the outside. They're called kinemoths. Little white brown disc things on the outside.
What is
this? Come up here. They're called kinemoth. Kinemoth, the eggs and the larvae go on those little, on the citrus fruits, you find little brown discs on the outside. Some more, some less. So those are, underneath those are the eggs are from types of, a type of bug, which eventually turns into a worm, which eventually turns into a moth. So what you do when you peel them, what happens is it gets in your hand sometimes and it gets on the citrus fruit. So what you have to do is one of two ways. Either, after you're peeling, you check it very carefully and take it off. You have to have good eyes to do that. Take up little brown things that come up in your hands. Or my kids do, they take a plastic bag and put it in their hands, and they peel it. You peel it such a way that the naphthalate or plastic bag doesn't get on the fruit. I don't know if you actually have to do that, but they manage to do it. So, citrus, boys, check them for little branches. They're quite suburban, so you can see them quite readily. But it's very common.
You can't just wash it.
No, they don't come off. Some come off with one and some don't. It's a fruit. After you get done peeling, you can wash it. Yeah, you can do that. Wash it, scrub it very well, and they come off. They come off. After you peel the fruit, you wash it, and they come off. What are the common things you have? Nuts are by side. Nuts, yeah, usually have to open up in half and see what's cooking inside. Sometimes they sit in warehouses, and they get the bug in the warehouses. Peanuts, also the same thing. Just open them up in half and look inside.
Sunflower seeds also. Sunflower
seeds. Sunflower seeds, you also have to check on by side. They sit in warehouses.
Are there any fruits that are safe from bugs completely?
What? Yeah, there are certain types of fruits that are safe from bugs completely, yeah.
The whole
let's see, mangoes almost have never, very seldom have bugs in them. Let's see, dried fruits are by side. You have to check carefully on both sides and open them up because sometimes little bugs stick to them. Little flying bugs will stick to them. And apricots, dried apricots have also the chemicals on them sometimes,
in
little brown things.
I found one yesterday.
You find one of them also, right?
How do you know if it's a bug or just the sugar that's...
You just have experience. Generally, sugar is usually white and it's, it feels like sugar. Dates have a lot of times white sugar in them, it's not a problem. In dates you find the little brown crummy things, that's usually that's from the excrement from the bug and like that.
Almonds?
What?
Almonds.
Almonds? Yeah. Almonds, you just cut them in half. Cut them in half.
You have to cut almonds?
It's only if they have holes in them.
Yeah, if they have a hole. If they're solid, they look fresh, everything else, you don't have to cut them in half. It's worthwhile to cut the break in half just in case, because sometimes you find they get inside when they're not so much inside. That's more or less everybody saying. Dry fruits, as I said, you have to stick to them.
Also rice and oats.
Pardon me?
Also rice and oats. I mean, not for fruits, but by getting rice and oats are also.
Rice and things like that. Okay, that's it. I just want to check them. Two more spots. And those are some of the things that are covered. Fine.